Welcome to the Portland Christian Center Podcast. This week, we will hear from Pastor Nate Linson in the series, Moving Forward. This fourth week in the series, we will hear him speak on generosity. Now here is Pastor Nate.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor
Amen.
Nate.
Amen. No, thank you, Pastor Heather. So good. Wow. Didn't she do amazing? Thank you, Pastor. She's doing such a great job with our kids' ministry, and we're so grateful for all that is happening. You know, it's always fun when you have two microphones. It's kind of dangerous as a pastor to have more than one, so we'll give it back. Thank you, Pastor. You're doing so good. But man, I'm excited for camp. By the way, who has your Bibles? We've been asking everyone to bring your Bibles. Let's wave them. Come on. I'm not going to try the Joel Osteen, "This is my Bible." That's okay. We know that the Word of God is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, hey, we've been in this series on moving forward. Let's see if we're paying attention. What's our series called? Moving forward. And there is no neutral in the kingdom of God. Last week, we talked about something really, really fun that's close and dear to my heart. I know just so many different ones of you expressed the gratitude for the message, but we engage the future and honor the past. Let's say that again. We engage the future and we honor the past. And that is a tension. All of us, no matter where we are on the spectrum, we get to work out with the Lord and with each other because we are called to love people because people are the prize. And I'm just so thankful for every single one of you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You look good." Now, if you need to get their phone number, you can do that after service. But you look good. By the way, I just want to welcome Pastor Bill and Joy Wilson here today. We're so glad you guys are here. What a privilege. Oh, man, we love you guys so much. Thank you for loving us and pouring into us. We just love them. Aren't they incredible? So blessed to have them here. So today we're moving on, and we're going to be in part four of our series, and we're moving forward, and we're talking about generosity. And I want to just say right at the very beginning of this message, PCC is a generous church. PCC is a generous church. That is who we are. And I still believe that we have more generosity to grow into. All of us have another step of generosity. And today I want to talk about not just finances, although we will talk about finances, but the Bible addresses your time, your talent, and your, we all knew it was treasure, but I was going to say finances to see who was paying attention. The Bible addresses all of those things. But one of the things that's so important that I believe that holds us back from being generous in all those areas, I'm going to talk about a few of those different things, but I want to illustrate to you one of the reasons why people aren't as generous as they could be, and I want to start it by just telling you a story. There was a woman, I read this in an article, in Texas, and she was just getting out of a grocery store. And she's bringing a cart of food to her car. And when she gets to the car, she finds that there are four grown men in her car. And being a Texas woman, she pulls a handgun out of her purse. And she sticks it right in the window and she says, "If you don't get out of my car right now, I will use this gun." Well, the men, the doors fly open and they just take off running. So she's like, "Phew, glad I didn't have to use the gun." She gets in the car and obviously she's pretty shaken up by the whole incident. She gets in and puts her groceries away and she goes to start her car and the key won't go in. It wasn't her car. So she gets out of the car, grabs her groceries, walks over two stalls, gets into her car, and drives herself to the police station. And she goes in and she says, "Officer, I just have to tell you what happened. I I went to a car, I thought it was my car, and I held some guys to the gunpoint, and I'm so sorry, but I had the wrong car, I feel so bad, and the officer just starts laughing. And he goes, see those four guys over there? They're reporting that someone stole their vehicle. No charges were pressed. But here's the thing, when we talk about generosity, I truly believe a lot of people struggle with being generous, but because they forget where all of their resources actually come from. They think it's theirs, but actually Psalms 24 verse 1 reminds us, and what does it say? It should come up on the screen. Psalms 24 verse 1, the earth is? Yes, and everything in it, the world and all its possessions belong to him. Where do they belong? To him. This will free all of our hearts if we get this right. This is the framework for generosity in every area of your life. Because when you start to believe that it's mine, like the seagulls in Finding Nemo, everything in your world gets small, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing you never have to teach your kids to say it's mine? You actually have to teach them to share. And unfortunately, many of us, although we get older, we don't always mature at the same rate of our age. And one of the ways we know we're maturing in the Lord is because we're looking to give more and more away because you know it's not yours and the only thing you can take to heaven with you is people. Everything in this building, everything that we're doing right now is all just here to help people go to heaven and find and follow Jesus and encounter him. I don't own any of this. God said, I'm giving you the keys. Now it's your job to be a good steward with what I've given you. So the question is, have you been living your life in such a way where you believe it's yours? And you know how you know? By how much you give away or try to hold on to. Today, I want to talk to you about living a generous life. And the good news is, God has already shown us the way. In fact, he's been so generous, that's why we can be generous. My big idea, if you're taking notes, I hope you write this down. My big idea is this. We can be generous because he is generous. We can be generous because he is generous. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do, you're waving them. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I want to read this to you because it has such a beautiful picture of generosity. Generosity oftentimes gets overlooked because it's one of those things we should understand and get, and yet we have to be reminded over and over and over that that's who we are in Christ. Paul is addressing this church in Corinth, and what's interesting is that he spends a lot of time in the earlier chapters correcting bad behavior, and it's like all of a sudden there's this pause, and he wants to encourage them to continue to grow in generosity. He's encouraging them, and that's what I want to say to PCC. Our best days of giving are not behind us. They're in front of us. Our biggest offerings still haven't happened yet. Our greatest move of volunteers has not happened yet. That serve day on Saturday, I'm praying that we have over 150 volunteers showing up. There's so many people there that there's not enough work to do. Like, what if we had one person's job literally was to make sure everyone had water because there was nothing else to do? Wouldn't that be amazing? In fact, I hope some of you bring your lawn chairs. Because you're going to sit and say, hey, it's all taken care of. I'm going to enjoy this and cheer you on. I've never seen someone rake so well. That was beautiful. You think I'm kind of kidding. It's funny, but it's true. All of us should be marking our calendars. Why? Because we love Portland. We are generous towards Portland. That's just who we are. Why? Because that's who he is. And sometimes we look at things like that and we think, oh, I wonder if my calendar works. wonder if my calendar works. I got to move my calendar to make that happen because it's a priority to me. I guarantee you if it was something that was happening in your yard, you would clear your schedule to make sure it was happening. Oh, did I just get real? Sorry. Because the truth is we all have to fight the selfishness in our own lives. All of us do. And so how do you fight it? You give it away. You look for opportunities to be generous. You sow seeds of generosity and you do it with love and joy. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. Watch how Paul describes generosity. It's beautiful. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. And PCC, we know this verse. For God loves a person who gives. Should we all just laugh? Oh, we got to practice. Should we practice? No, it's okay. We'll keep going. We gotta give. How do we give? Cheerfully, with a smile. Let me see. Some of us are struggling with that. Let's see your teeth. Oh, there we go. We got some beautiful smiles. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered. How long?
Forever.
For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Say, in me.
In me.
In me. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
When you are generous, two things happen right off the bat. What did it say? Needs will be met, and God will get the glory. God will get the glory. So many times when we go to church or maybe you're growing in your faith, people will ask, why does God care so much about me being generous? And it's all tied to Matthew 6:21. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We think God needs our money. No, he doesn't. We think God needs my servant heart. He actually doesn't. We think God, oh, he needs my talent for sure. What did I just read? Everything is already his. So why is he asking us to do all these things? He's after your heart, he's after your heart, he's after your heart, and he's after my heart. Why is he after our hearts? Because he loves us so much. The Bible says with an unending love, he's pursuing you. He sees you. He cares about you. You are not alone. One of the biggest things that COVID has done to so many people is they believe the lie that they're alone and they have to stay alone. And if you're online watching this, man, we love you. Thank you for joining our family. And we want every person to know you are not alone. He loves you. He sees you. And when you are generous in the kingdom of God, it reveals where your heart truly is. That's why we are generous, because we are telling our own hearts, no, 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 this ain't all about Nate. He's not that great. It's about him and building his kingdom. So one of the things we have to ask ourselves is constantly, where is my treasure? And if you don't know, I really want to challenge you to do this. Take out your bank statement and just start tracking where all your money is going. That can be pretty sobering real fast. How much did I just spend at Chick-fil-A this month? And we start taking an inventory and we realize, oh my goodness, a lot of the things are coming back to me, not out. That reveals the condition of our hearts. And many of us have different reasons why we struggle with generosity. Today, I just want to talk about three simple things that I believe if we can address these simple things, we will be more generous, okay? So three just real simple, real easy, clear ones, but they may be easy to understand, but hard to live, but they're true. So the first thing that I think keeps people from being generous, just number one, is a lack of understanding. A lack of understanding. You see, I want to illustrate it this way. A lot of times we think that God needs our money or the church always needs our money. That's not what it's all about. You see, the truth is we are generous because he's generous. If you go back in the Bible in Genesis, there's a story of a man named Abraham. Who's heard of Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons. Come on, hear it. Father Abraham, I am one. Oh! There we go. The kids are carrying us. Way to go, kids. All right. Very good. We know the song. We've heard of Father Abraham. But one of the things that we can do, because we've heard it so much, we don't put ourselves in the story. Think about this for a moment. You've been praying, and God has told you you would have a child, and you have to wait till you're 100. Who? Raise your hand in this room if you're 100 years old. Nope. Okay, we're all still waiting. Imagine God promised you something and it still hasn't happened. We're not happy if God didn't make it happen last week. So 100 years go by. They finally have a son. Sarah's 90. Ladies, anybody here 90 years old? All right, you're having a baby this week. Okay, exciting. So they have this baby. And here's the thing. So many times we love God, we're praying, we're asking him, we're requesting things, and he gives them to us. But the problem is so many times the good things in our lives become God things. We worship the gifts, not the gift giver. And so God gives Abraham a test that I would not wish on any parent. He tells him to go and take him his son, Isaac. Now, it's funny, if you read the text back later, you can read it in Genesis 20, 21, 22, that Abraham doesn't tell Sarah where he's going or what he's doing. Anybody catch that part? I mean, if I was like, hey, Mael, I'm going to go take Titus up and we're going to go sacrifice him. We'll see you later. She'd be like, what? So Abraham, they may need to work on marriage communication. I don't know, but he doesn't say anything. He just goes up the hill. Then he tells the servants to stay. And as they're going, his son, Isaac, starts asking God, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And he says, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. They get all the way up there. The Lord hasn't provided it yet. Gets his son on the altar, ties him up. And he's revealing something that all of us must pay attention to. What has your heart? What do you think about when no one else is around and you have free space in your mind? Who do you worship? What fills your soul? Because everything else in this world is meant to be good and honoring and pleasing, and yet the perversity of this world has made it evil, dirty, or maybe just still good, but it becomes God. And Abraham is showing us something that is so powerful and yet so difficult to understand. Why would a good, loving God do this? So Abraham has his son on the altar. He's tied up. And this is what it says, Exodus 22:10. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. We got to think about this for a moment. This is painful. This is hard. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Best words he's ever heard in his life, I guarantee you that. Here I am! Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Wow. Now, if you're like me, that is a really hard passage to swallow. Let's just put that in a little vacuum right there. If you hold it right there, you're like, man, that, I don't know. What we don't realize is the mountain that he climbed was Mount Moriah. The sacrifice he did was at the top, because we just watched the whole story, right? This is so important for all of us to remember. We often put periods and get stuck in chapters of stories which hold us back from a deeper revelation of what God's really up to. Because when you open the whole Bible, you see, okay, Abraham's on this mountain, Mount Moriah. 2,000 years later, there will be a man who will be carrying a cross with crowns of thorns on his head, bleeding, battered, up the hill, walking his way to his death with two other criminals, and he's going to die for your sins and mine. And his father put him there. And what we realize is God is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Some of us still don't get it. Here's what I'm saying. He provided for Abraham 2,000 years ago, back then, before Jesus was born and died. Then he provided the sacrifice for your sins and my sins. And now 2,000 years later, guess who's still providing the same sacrifice for your sins and mine? Jesus! It's so good. It's good news. We should be way more excited. Because so many of us spend our lives thinking, I've got to do so many good things. I got to be so generous so that God will be pleased with me. Did you not just hear what I said? He loves you so much. He's already done it all. It's not about what you can do. It's already what he has done and what he has finished. And it's good news for you, and it's good news for me. And if you don't understand that, generosity will always be a struggle in your life. Because you will keep trying to provide when God says, I've already provided. And this is what happens, and I'm just the same way. God, I don't have enough for groceries this week. God, I'm stuck in debt. God, I'm stuck with this job. Right? Here's the problem. We are frozen in this chapter, and God said, trust me. I am your provider. I will take care of you. I am with you. Stay faithful. Stay obedient. Trust me. And as you're generous in every season, when you look back at your life, you will see God's been there the whole time. And it's better than I thought, better than I could have ever imagined. And my life is now going to be an example for other people to follow because of who he is and what he's already done. The more you understand how good God is and what he's done for you, the more generous we will become. Amen? Amen. The second thing that we must understand, and the reason people don't live generously, is we want earthly credit for it. This is what holds people back from generosity. I was with someone, a friend of mine, don't worry, they're not in this room, because I've actually been to Black Rock Coffee with a few people, so I'm not talking about anybody here. Just get that out, okay? This was in the Tri-Cities. And the barista got us some coffee, and it was great, and she turned her back, and the guy I was with was paying, and he had a dollar tip, and he went to drop it in the bucket. Well, she turned her back. And he held on to it. And he held on to it. And she walked away, and he held it over the tip jar. It was like a good 10 seconds. And she's walking around, and then she turns her back, and as she turns and looks at him, he lets go. And she goes, oh, thank you so much. That is so sweet, so kind. Thank you, thank you. And as he walked away, he looked at me, no joke. He looked at me, he said, it don't count if they don't see it. I was like, oh my gosh, isn't that hilarious? And people were like, oh, never. That's not funny. As shocking as that is, isn't there a little bit of truth in some of us right now? Nope. Lord, I love you. Oh good, he saw it. Okay, we're good. We serve on the worship team and we're singing. We serve in the kids area. Did Pastor Heather notice how hard I'm working? Did this person get, oh, I didn't get a thank you card. Not gonna serve next week. We have to address this in our soul, don't we? Why am I doing this? Why am I serving? Why am I giving my talents? Why am I being generous? We have to recognize the Bible says that we are to store up our treasures in heaven where moth and rot and rust will not destroy. And when you get this, generosity will be way more fun and way easier.
It's true.
A few years ago, it's actually been about 7 years ago, we were doing something called the Angel Tree Christmas. I don't know if we do that at PCC. I've only been here 5 months. Forgive me if we've done this for years. But basically, we put Christmas trees in the lobby, and then different families in the community would write down needs that they had, and we would give them gifts. We've heard of this, seen this. So we were collecting all of these gifts and the tags, and people were bringing them in the community, and one of the ladies was reading a tag, and she said it was for a 10-year-old girl who said, for Christmas, I want bus passes for my mom because our car broke down, and I'm afraid if she doesn't get to work, she's going to lose her job and we'll have to move again. And so the lady reads this out loud, and one of the ladies, she just starts breaking down and crying. She says, give me the tag. I'm like, oh, okay. So she takes the tag. She goes home to her husband. 2 days later, they show back up to the church, and they purchased a $12,000 vehicle. Running perfectly, brand new tires, air conditioning, everything works. 4-door sedan. Bring it up to the church. And the husband says, I have one condition. The only person that's to know who gave this is between the pastors and me. I don't want the church to know, and I don't want this family to know. So they take this, so one of the pastors, we take this vehicle to this lady, show up at her work, ask her to come out, we bring her kids. She has 4 kids, single mom. And they all get out, and there's this big bow on this car. And she just begins to weep. The kids get in the car. They're jumping around. You know, they're 3 and 10. They're like, Mom, look at this. They're jumping on the seats. They're so excited. And then they open the trunk, and it's full of Christmas presents. And the kids are opening it. Isn't this amazing? Yes. And the mom is just weeping with tears. And she said, I can't believe a church would do this. And she kept saying this, who gave it to me? Who gave it to me? And the pastor in charge, he said, it's from the Lord. It's from the Lord. It's from the Lord. One of the best ways to free your heart of needing credit is just say, it's for God. It's for God. I do all this for him. I do all this for him. When we get to heaven, there will be treasures. There will be things that people have been storing up. And guess who knows every little thing that you've done? Yeah. From handing burgers out to people that are homeless to buying $12,000 cars. God sees. Yeah. He rewards. So let's free our hearts as we grow in generosity. We don't need earthly credit. We just need to bring glory and praise to our God. If I could have the worship team come, I have one last point, and I have an illustration I want to talk to you about, but number 3. This is the hard one, I'll be honest with you. This is the one I almost kept out because it was so challenging. Have you ever had that? When you got to tell someone the truth, you're like, I don't want to say it because then I got to live this one. I'll just be honest with you. We like control. Okay, am I the only one? All right. I like control. I like to be in charge, or at least believe that I'm in charge of my finances, of my life. If you don't believe me, just watch people in line when they can't go anywhere and they're stuck. We like control. But if you truly want to grow, Nate, if you truly want to grow, and be generous. We have to move from giving with strings attached, clenched fist to what generosity actually looks like is this: open-handed. Yeah. Open-handed. God, this is all of yours. This is not mine. Some of us may have heard this story. There's a man in 1859 that strung a cable 1,100 feet across and 160 feet high over Niagara Falls and would tightrope walk it in 1859. That is a picture of him. His name is Charles Blondin. And he would go and promote this amazing attraction. And they said he had crowds back then of up to 25,000 people on the US border and Canada border that would watch him. He would go across this on stilts. He would go across this. He even brought one time, it said an oven, and he made an omelet right in the middle of the place. So one time he decides to walk from U.S. backwards all the way to Canada. And he goes all the way out. And I believe my illustration's somewhere over there. Where is it? Hey, whoa! Back this way, backwards. And he comes back to the U.S. with a wheelbarrow on a tightrope, 1,100 feet, 160 feet high. And he says to the crowd, how many of you believe I can do this? And everyone is like, yeah, you're amazing. You're the man, Tiger Woods. All these different, sorry, not Tiger Woods. This is amazing. You're awesome. And then he says, who wants to get in? Who wants to get in? And wouldn't you know it, no one got in. I think generosity is a lot like that. It's really easy to talk about all the different things we've either done in the past, things we've heard, and yet in real time, in real life, Pastor Paul, would you walk up here with me? God will ask you to do things. I don't know if we're going to do this, but we're going to try. God's going to ask us, hold on a second, God's going to ask people like Paul, Pastor Paul. Now, here's the thing I want you to get. This is so important. When it comes to generosity, he'll ask us to do things that are irrational. Why would he do that? Because he did things that was irrational for us. To be generous like him means we got to live with faith, not by sight. So hop in there, Pastor Paul. We'll see how this goes.
Hold it steady.
All right. And so here's the question. Pastor Paul, do you trust me?
Yes.
We've known each other for 5 weeks. Do you trust me? Yes? All right, in Jesus' name. The tire. So, here's what we're going to do. Stay here. Pastor Jason and Pastor Rick, get up here fast. Get up here fast. Get up here fast. Quick, 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 quick. Come on. Here's what I love about our God. Even if your tire goes flat, go ahead, everybody get around it. He'll pick it up. Yes! Yeah! There we go. We'll set you down. Yeah! All right, you're good. Thank you. Would you give it up for him one more time? I won't let you fall. Pastor Paul. Yeah, yeah. Jason goes, do you want to go again? We'll work on our equipment next time. What is God asking you in your heart to be generous with? It's going to be different for every single person. Would you stand with me for a moment? Today is a day where God, I believe, God is asking all of us at PCC to get back in the wheelbarrow. And here's the truth. Some of us here, you've been wounded. You've been hurt. I don't know if I could put it back in again, Pastor Nate. I don't know if I can give it back again. It's been painful. COVID took a lot out of me. I'm pretty sure the cross took a lot out of Jesus too. You're asking for money again? Nope, 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 nope. Don't miss it, don't miss it. You know what I'm asking for? What God's really asking for, your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And today I talked about three things that are challenging for people. Not understanding, needing control, wanting the credit. I really believe there are people that have been offended by certain things, and that's why you're withholding some generous things in your life. So here's what we're gonna do. I just believe the Holy Spirit is stirring something powerful in this room, that there's gonna be breakthrough today. If there is anything in your life that is holding you back, maybe a lie that you've believed or just bad experiences, pain, any of it, this is what I want you to do. We have baskets up here for all of us. Is when we start worshiping Jesus, and I'll be the first one to write it down. You ready? Control. PCC is an amazing church, and I'm not here to control it. I'm here to do what God's called me to do. I have an amazing wife, an amazing marriage, amazing kids. I'm not here to control them. I'm here to love them. God has called me to lead with the way that I give. I can't control it. I give generously. So I personally am going to take the control and give it back to God. My question for you today is, and I believe there's something for all of us as we worship, would you come down and grab a card and make it as personal as you want? And as you give it, may it be a sacrifice unto Him, because guess what's at stake? Your heart. Your heart. Lord, I pray for every person that's here. I ask in the name of Jesus, as we come forward to get our cards, Lord, I pray that you would free our hearts, that you would free our minds. Lord, that you would free us from having anything that would keep us from being generous. PCC will lead the way in generosity. And it starts with our lives and our hearts, because it's going to meet the needs of people and bring glory to you. We can be generous because you are generous. So Father, as we come today, may everything that is written on these papers and thrown in the wheelbarrow, may they produce a harvest 30, 60, 100 fold of seeds of generosity in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you come down and write something on the cards?
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com or join us online for our live stream at 10:30 at live.pcctoday.com.